Good morning, folks, and welcome to the Friday edition of the Grace Hour. We're here in our studio in Baltimore, Maryland, and we are hopefully going to be joined here in the studio by Pastor Schibelli here shortly. I think we have a good topic to speak about today. We're going to talk about whom the Son has set free is free indeed. And it's a great topic. This week has been an enjoyable week. We've been speaking about a few different topics. We spoke about the liberty that is in Christ Jesus. We've talked about choosing grace. And now we've talked about, or today we will talk about, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. We would love to hear from you. We have opportunities for you to email your questions into us. You can do that by simply dialing in or emailing in to questions@gracehour.org. And it would be great to hear some of your questions. We have a few different thoughts about this today. The world has a great range of beliefs on liberty, and we talked about that somewhat here recently, about liberty and about the decisions that we make in our heart. And we'll be asking you some of those questions for your comments. And we are thankfully being joined here today by Pastor Schibelli. Pastor Schibelli, good to be with you on this beautiful Friday.
Do I have to put this on
first? You have to put that on just so they can hear you.
Okay, I had some liberty, but not to be late.
So our topic today is from John chapter 8, and it's specifically verse 36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. You know a little something about being free, don't you, Pastor Schibelli?
When you get saved, you get freed. When you get saved, you're born again. You're free from the penalty of sin. You have now access with God when it comes to the power of sin. Mm. You know, one day we'll be free from the presence of sin when we go home to be with the Lord, or the rapture takes place. So liberty is quite something. Some people can use liberty, Pastor Barry, if you're not careful, they'll use it as a license to sin, which is not what true liberty and freedom with Christ is all about. So that's why I think he says, if the Son shall make you free, you are free indeed. Mm. There were some people that, you know, would say to Jesus, oh, we're not in bondage. Isn't that what the Pharisee says? We'd be in bondage to no man. Abraham is our father. And he said, Abraham, with your father, you would have received me. So liberty. And I think this is an amazing subject, especially as we're around the, July 4th, and we think about the great event that took place where we received and we saw the liberty come to our nation. And really, even today, important, let's think about in the Christian life today, some messages put you in bondage. There are messages that put you completely into bondage. Legalistic messages, you know, messages that come forth that all of a sudden there's no freedom. I'm not experiencing the 2 Corinthians 3:17-18 freedom of the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. And that's really key, the source of liberty. So we have source number one, the Holy Spirit. Source number two, well, either way you want to put them, but you read John 8:31-36, liberty from God's word. Galatians 5:1 says, stand fast in the liberty wherein Christ has made you free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. That's the liberty of grace. I think this is very important. Many Christians, born-again believers, born of the Spirit, John 3:3-7, born of the Word, 1 Peter 1:22-23, yet born of the Word and the Spirit, do they, and then saved by grace, Ephesians 2:5-8, the three sources of what we would call our salvation, or three aspects of it, the Spirit, the Word, and grace. If I do not continue in the spiritual life, in the Word, and in grace, I'm in bondage. Mm. I find myself in bondage again, and I'm bondage to the elements of this world. So when we think about the old sin nature and the world and the devil, who is the god of this world, the objective of all three of those enemies is to put us in bondage and to keep us in bondage. And it's amazing what can happen. People can actually even go to church and still be in bondage. They can be in a denominational bondage. Sorry if that affects you or offends you today. They can be in the bondage of legalism, religious bondage. They can be in all kinds of bondages. Sometimes when we think of bondage and prison per se, we think of maybe people that are using alcohol and drugs, and all of a sudden they're like in bondage and they're addicted and whatnot. But there's so much bondage that is out in even in Christianity, where people do not experience the liberty that they have from the Spirit, from the Word, and from grace. In other words, if I am not a Spirit-filled believer, a Spirit-led believer, a believer who is operating in the ministry of the Holy Spirit, I'm in bondage. I'm in bondage. If I am not a Word of God Christian, doctrine, truth, shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So I'm born again by the sources of the Spirit, the Word, and grace, but yet I do not operate in these principles. I do not operate in these three keys to liberty, then I can find myself in bondage again. Isn't that what happened to the Galatians? Mm-hmm. Like they were in bondage again, okay? What happened to you? You know, Paul said in Galatians 1, 6 through 10, he said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him who called you into the grace of Christ to another gospel. And he says, which is not another, but there's be some who would trouble you and would pervert the gospel. Mm. And though we are an angel from heaven, speak unto you any other message or gospel other than that which you have received, let him be anathema. Let him be accursed. So these Galatians were drawn back into bondage by the Judaizers who came up from Jerusalem when they heard about the freedom and the message of the gospel. They came up and through the initiation and of religion, they tried to put these people back into bondage, and they had some success with that. So Paul had to come again and say to them again, you know, what's going on here? You know, I marvel after 6 years that you are so soon removed. What happened in 6 years? I brought this message of grace. I brought this message of the Word. I brought this message of the Spirit, and you were totally set free. And all of a sudden, like now you're back in bondage to these elements of this world system. And it's shocking to me. How did this happen? And so, so you have a lot of churches out there. Now, are they churches that bring in liberty, or are they churches that put you into maybe a religious bondage? You got to keep the Ten Commandments, bondage. Of course we believe in the commandments of God. Or, yeah, of course we do. But, you know, they bring it across like, you know, they're going to look at every little thing you do. You know, the clothes you wear. I can't believe it, you know. I mean, somebody came to church one time and when I was in Africa and they saw somebody dressed with a sleeveless kind of a thing, you know. And I always recommended that people dress properly when they came to church because in Africa, maybe they're a bit behind in the trends of the culture and per se. So I told people to be careful, but that can't be a Christian. They're showing their shoulders. How can they be born again? You know, or a beard. You have a beard. There's some movements today. I won't name them. What word they begin with, but if you had a beard or a mustache, which means the both of you are in trouble, then we've got problems, and it's bondage. It's nothing but bondage. And they put people into these externals, into this framework of bondage. And then people think, I'm coming here. I don't have any freedom at all. I don't feel any sense of the liberty of the Spirit and the Word and the grace of God. And so they go away. And maybe they end up saying, been there, done that. Christianity doesn't work. Well, no, that kind of Christianity doesn't work because it's not really Christianity. It's a religious exercise and an observance of rituals and man's formulas for making people spiritual. Mm. And that's like, hello, that doesn't work at all. I mean, can you imagine what that's like? You know, I saw a man and he was drinking, you had a Coca-Cola in the pulpit. Well, excuse me, I'm not drinking the water that's available to me in this village. So I had an old bottle of Coca-Cola, probably dated 1947 or something. I don't know. But I put it up on top of the pulpit in case it was so dry I had to drink something. And I had somebody come and say, there's no such, a pastor would never have Coca-Cola in the pulpit. Really? Well, that's why some of them are dead. Mm. Maybe whatever water they drank. So they would get into all these kind of things that would try to bring bondage into the church. Mm. You got to give them this envelope. If they don't have the envelope, they need to tithe. God won't bless you unless you tithe. And I believe in tithing. Mm. But it's not a force thing. Mm. I'm not saying, we had some people, there were some churches there, I won't name them. They used to go to the employer of a person that was a member of the church and find out what they made. So they would find out if the envelope was containing a 10% or something else. Can you imagine that? Mm. Talk about bondage. Talk about spiritual bondage, and dressing up and like, wait a minute, she's got something in her hair. You kidding me? She got something in her hair. Or don't you think her hair is a little bit too short? I mean, is that spiritual, the way she's wearing her hair, And like, it was unbelievable. Mm. It was unbelievable. And I don't know whether other places experience the same things, I'm sure in some measure they do. But all to bring the person into a place of bondage. So they would be trapped. They would be in a spiritual prison that they couldn't get out of. And it was amazing to me. Sometimes I would meet people, and they said to me, I had a big Bible study one time, about 40 people coming. This was in Springfield, Massachusetts, on Central Street. I remember it clearly. And one time, some people that were in the church, leaders, they kind of walked around the backyard. They didn't come into the Bible study, and they saw some people smoking on the back porch. Now, smoking kills you, okay? I don't ever endorse it in any way at all, okay? And so they called me into the office the next day, and they said, we went by your Bible study, and we saw three people smoking on the back porch. By the way, they were brand new that night, okay? I said, oh, yeah. I said, maybe about a week or two ago, they were shooting heroin in the backyard. I said, they've really grown and come a long way. Maybe someday they'll be like you, Mr. Holy, and they never bothered me again. They never bothered me again about that. They were give them liberty, okay? They're making progress, okay? So I heard somebody say a certain word, a swear word. Yeah, well, you should have heard their mouth. It was like a sewer about 2 months ago. So one slipped out. So what do you want to do? Kick them out of the church? Mm. You want to remove them from the church or something like that? So really, it's amazing how there can be bondage. Mm. And that if you're not careful, because of the devil and the old sin nature and the world, I can even listen to a message of freedom and liberty and put myself in bondage somehow to that, because I don't understand the liberty that Christ, he's made us free. The Mark 5 guy just said, I'm going to go to the 10 cities, the Decapolis region, and preach the gospel. Mm. I mean, no, you can't go. You need to go to Bible school. Jesus didn't say that. He said, go have compassion on them, and whatnot. So bondage. Why is he talking to a woman at a well? You can't talk. You're talking to a woman at a well who's immoral? What is he doing? How can he be like a priest, or how can he be who he says he is? He's talking to a woman at a well. Wow. He's touching, letting a leper touch his hands. I remember I was in a traffic jam in a certain African city. And I had the window down, and a leper came up to the window and put his hand on my arm. And I thought for a moment, don't even make a face about this. Don't even react to this. God, give me grace to just minister to this leper, And I didn't know if his leprosy was contagious. I figured, if it was, God could heal me anyway. What's the big deal? But bondage. And so a lot of people that have failed or have gone the wrong way in life, they're not coming to church. You ever heard this statement? If I went to church, the roof would cave in. I heard that a lot, No, you come and you'll be set free. So that's our devotional this morning. Mm. We're going to go with this program today on liberty. Mm. Okay, if the Son makes you free, you are free indeed. If you're free some other way, you'll be back in the bondage again. And I want to live in the freedom of the Holy Spirit, not a freedom to sin, not a freedom to live in the flesh, not a freedom to follow the dictates of the world and the devil, but a freedom to meet Jesus Christ in every situation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wow, what a great topic. And as we recap it, liberty comes from the Holy Spirit, God's word, and from grace. We see earlier in John chapter 8 with the woman taken in adultery, and it's interesting to me that she was being judged by a standard that the men who were judging her couldn't keep themselves.
Yeah, I wonder what Jesus wrote on the ground. Remember that? That's always the big mystery.
Yes.
I wonder if he wrote the name. I always thought this, now, but I don't think he would do this. But did he write the name of somebody that they, one of those people standing around, were with?
Mm.
They shouldn't. No, probably not. That would be like, you know, him bringing up the sin. But maybe they needed to have it brought up.
Yeah.
You know? But he bent down and wrote on the ground. Unless, maybe I think we heard Dr. Stevens say one time, he just wrote the word grace.
Mm.
Wrote the word grace, you know? And he was full of grace and truth. And this woman would be set free, okay?
Mm.
Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. I like this. I like this, how this goes. He didn't say, I won't condemn you, okay, if you don't sin. Neither do I condemn you. Now, because of that, go and sin no more.
Mm.
Because you're not condemned. Now you have the source of the grace and mercy of God, so you won't sin.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, and what they were doing was condemning the daylights out of her, you know? Like, oh my God, who is this woman?
Yeah.
Who is this woman? She was caught, by the way, she was caught in the very act. Do you ever wonder why they didn't bring the man?
Mm.
Huh? They brought her, right? I wonder.
Mm.
I don't know. Maybe we'll find
who was
out. Maybe.
He?
Huh?
He may be a close associate.
Yeah. So they dragged the woman.
Yeah.
Like, you know, right in the very act, you know.
Well, an interesting thought about that is that when they used it as an opportunity to tempt Christ and they were speaking to him about it, he doesn't listen. His head is down and he's not hearing. And I was thinking about, in many occasions, Elijah and the prophets of Baal, when they're offering up their religious sacrifice and they're crying out to heaven, there's no answer. There's no answer. And the bondage of sin does not have an answer. Interesting that in his quietness and in asking them, you know, who let him who is without sin cast the first stone, their own hearts condemn them.
Walk away.
Their own hearts condemn them, and they walk away. So I thought of a couple thoughts here. You know, in Christ and in the definition of liberty that you just gave, isn't there still an opportunity for our hearts to condemn us? And how do we actually have... you know, we know we've been freed from the power of sin, and yet sometimes we lack that freedom from sin in our experience. Maybe our hearts condemn us, or we hear a message, as you alluded to, we hear a message, and we turn that message into bondage.
Yeah.
So how do we address that?
Well, first of all, I would say this. Sometimes I think people, they have this idea that your old heart changes into a new one. No, it doesn't.
Mm.
You receive a new heart. Ephesians chapter 4, 21 through 23. You're renewed in the spirit of your mind. And if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So I receive the person of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit has the heart of God. So now what source am I going to operate from? Am I going to operate from the old sin nature? See, the tricky thing about the old sin nature is it can be good and it can be bad.
Mm.
You know, and a lot of times there's a change from the good old sin nature to the bad, or from the bad to the good. A person is using narcotics, and he cleans himself up through something natural that takes place, and he becomes a good person in society. But that's why John said, I got to take an axe to your root.
Mm.
Your root's bad.
Yeah.
This tree's coming out, you know? So now I have the new person. So my source to live in a life of no condemnation is from the new man.
Mm.
It's from the new man who's in Christ. Because there is absolutely no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus.
Mm.
Not one time ever, no never, is how that really reads. No condemnation in the Greek language. Not one time, never, no ever.
Mm.
Condemnation. And God is never against us. If God be for us, who can be against us? So I go to the source of the new person. And I got to see myself in Christ. And then my positional truth now, mixing faith with positional truth, I experience the life of God. Position to experience. We'll talk about that tonight in Bible class if you have nothing to do tonight, or if you have something to do from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock, we're talking about grace and the finished work. That's our topic. That's our 10-week class on Friday nights, and tonight will be on faith. On a faithful God produces faith. So no condemnation. There's no condemnation. Now, when I sin, I like this. When I sin, the Holy Spirit convicts me. A better word for that, elegeko, is convinces me.
Mm.
He doesn't beat me with a hammer. He just convinces me by revealing truth to me that this is not from God.
Mm.
And now the goodness of God leads me to repentance. I can't change myself. It says the goodness of God leads me to change my thinking. Now I have a new way of thinking. I'm not thinking in the old man. I'm thinking in the new man. And when I'm thinking in the new man, I have the provision of the will of the new man and the life of the new man, and I can yield to that. It's simply, what am I yielding to? Right? Romans chapter 6. What am I yielding to? Romans 6 and Romans 7. So this is key, that I'm going to be a believer who's going to be receiving from who I am in Christ, not who I am in the flesh. You don't want to receive from who I am in the flesh. That ain't going to be good for me or anybody else, you know? But who I am in the new man.
Very good.
That's key.
Very good. Yeah, 1 John 3:20, if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our
right.
heart. It's beautiful. Well, listen, if you'd like to join us here on the Grace Hour, we do have phones available, 1-800-338-7060. Or if you're here locally, 410-483-3700. Again, you can email questions to questions@gracehour.org. The show is available by podcast, so if you want to recommend it to friends later, Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon, iHeartRadio, Audible, and Stitcher. Stitcher. You have a Stitcher account, Beth Shabelli?
I have no idea where any of that is. You know what? I'm very fortunate I have a watch.
Yeah. You can be here. If you can make it here on time and do it live, that's great. So we do have a few comments coming in and maybe a few questions for the audience. We're talking about liberties and freedoms. What are some false freedoms that you can think of? Freedoms that maybe you have observed or have experienced in your life and thinking that it's freedom, and yet maybe it's not. What are those? Those are some interesting thoughts as well.
How about like somebody that thinks if they make a lot of money, they're going to have freedom? No. No. Nothing wrong with God blessing you with finances, but the making of money or getting a better job or money is not going to give you freedom. It's not going to give you freedom at all. And by the way, sometimes it can make things even worse, you know? Whatnot. You know, I'm gonna have more freedom when I get out of the inner city or something. No, you won't. Because it's only in Christ, not in the inner city, where you have freedom. You can be in Christ in a very difficult place to live, and you can have incredible freedom. If I could just make it from the village in Africa to the big city where there's all kinds of money to be made, the question would be, no, and God is saying, no. No, you have freedom in Christ and who you are in Him. And so we think of all these things. If I had more education, now we want people to have education. We want them to learn. If I had more education, I would be so much more free.
Yeah.
Oh boy, I've heard that. You know, what we need to do is educate Africa. No, we don't. No, what we need to do is to let them learn of Him. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Learn of Christ. That will bring freedom, true freedom. Because a lot of people that pursue these things end up in more bondage. They end up in more bondage. It's incredible. Sometimes a man in prison thinks, if I get out, I'm going to have incredible liberty and freedom. Well, you know what? I know some people that have been in prison for years, and they have incredible freedom in the spirit. And they may not ever get out. They may not ever get out. I used to do a Bible class in Walpole. Did you ever hear of Walpole?
Oh, yeah.
Walpole State Penitentiary.
Yep.
I used to do three of them, one in Connecticut prison, one in a Massachusetts prison in Hamden County House of Correction, and then Walpole, and then Concord State Penitentiary.
Yep.
I used to do four prisons a week. And by the way, you learned a lot about freedom by operating in places like that, because you could see people's lives transform. So I don't know if he's listening today, but if Pastor Steve Murillo would call up, he could tell us about the great liberty he experienced when he was delivered from, I think, 20 years of addiction.
Wow.
Now, I don't know. Maybe he's not around or he's not available to do that. But a real freedom. And I think people are in bondage to so many things. And sometimes people think if they get free from the bondage of drugs or alcohol, they're going to be absolutely free. No, it's only through the Son. You might be free through some program, and thank God that He could use a program to do that. But then they find themselves getting in bondage to the things of this world, the elements of this world. And then they can find themselves. I remember a man who was freed of 17 years of drug addiction, heroin. And then he got clean. He got married, had two kids. Then he had three jobs, and then he had three houses. Mm. And he came back to me and he said, I went back into drugs. I said, no, you never left. I said, you went from that drug to another drug, the drug of a wonderful life, you know? And I said, that became an addiction to you and it brought you right back again. So you went from an evil addiction to a good addiction, but they're all what? Addictions.
Yeah.
Addictions.
Yeah, there's only true liberty when it comes through Christ. And that's why it's a beautiful thought about the Holy Spirit, the Word, and grace, because the Holy Spirit is the one who convicts us of His truth, right? He leads us and guides us in all truth. And if we don't have the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, then maybe we are substituting our experience for one good thing to another, hoping that that's where we find our satisfaction. But as we know, real satisfaction comes through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And that's amazing. So we're looking forward to hearing some thoughts from you. You know, there are, as some of the questions that are coming in, false freedoms. What are things that we tend to rely on? I think Pastor Shabelli just addressed some of those things. My place in the church, my experience, you know, do I have confidence in my flesh? You know, those things. I like the illustration that you gave about taking the axe to the root. And we know that, you know, we can trim the tree, but it's going to grow back if it's not completely uprooted. And the old heart is taken out and replaced with a new heart.
You ever see those bushes? Some of those bushes, I got some in my backyard.
I do too.
And I got to cut some tomorrow. And I'm thinking, like, I need to, you know, have somebody saw them down there. There are vines that are this thick.
Mm.
And then somebody told me, I think it was Pastor Dan, said, you need to go after the roots.
Yep.
You got to dig those babies up because they have a tendency to grow back. And I thought to myself, this stuff can just grow right over the house if I'm not careful.
Yeah, they grow back.
And that's what sin can do. Mm. You know what? And that's what evil can do. Mm. By the way, evil is the word for evil, poneros, and it means infectious, and that which is like cancer, it grows. And it's amazing. So really, we need the liberty of Christ, not the liberty. Somebody said, if I move to this area, if I get this job, I'm going to have so much incredible freedom. How about this one? I'm single, and if I get married, I will have freedom. Mm. Or I'm married, and if I would just have kids, there would be freedom. And then after you have the kids, I would have freedom when they leave. When are they going to leave? I mean, my God, do you know how much they eat? Do you know how much they cost to have them? So I can't wait till, how about this one? When I retire, I'll be free. Do you know the average person retires at like 68 years old from a job, okay? And sometimes the average man lives to be 74. Wow, you work 68 years for six. You just got hosed. No, I mean, in one aspect, sorry, that's just a word I use on the street sometimes, you know? I mean, in all reality, enjoy freedom even while you're working. Wow. Be retired from the system and operate in Christ and you have liberty, you know? I mean, I enjoy what I do. I'm 75 and I'm still working like 80 hours a week and I find it enjoyable, you know?
You're not slowing down, that's for sure.
I don't intend to.
No.
The slow down is the transfer to another kingdom. That's what I call the slow down, you know? My mother, I have an example, is my mother at 93, she was still driving a car, you know? And I thought, I want to drive a car at 95. Just get out of my way. No, maybe drive the car at 4 in the morning when there's nobody on the road. My wife's starting to complain a little bit now, like, did you see that guy? I said, what guy?
Well, I don't know if that's I think that might be a general wife thing. Just speaking from potential experience. Kathy from Baltimore says, walking in the light of your self-made fire.
Oh, I remember that.
You think you are free, but really you are walking in bondage. That's a good point.
That was my message, I think, 20-something years ago.
Mm.
Walking is from Isaiah 50.
Mm.
I think the end of the chapter. Walking in the light of your self-made fire. And you will lie down in torment, and you'll get momentary sparks, and then you'll lie down in torment and sorrow. So it's a self-made fire, and I'm operating in that. And I think freedom, you know, freedom is this location. I just want to get out of this. I want to go to the retire and go to the mountains, and then a mountain lion comes through your window. I mean, I don't want to see that happen, but I'm saying, like, you know what? It's just what is interesting. What can happen when people have their expectation other than God, and then they realize when they get there, they can't even enjoy it because they're just not there to enjoy it, you know, and whatnot. And I remember, I thought to myself, I joined the basketball team. We had a team that I played on. It was me, my brother, my cousin Sal. There was like five of us from our own family. And then Jack Curley, who was father, ran the prison that I used to work in. And we had a basketball team. And we won, like, I think, two championships in a row. Then I got saved, and then the church had a team. So I transferred to the church team. And it was interesting because at that particular time, the church, I mean, maybe people were just not spiritual on the court, you know? And I thought to myself, what should I do? Should I stay with the church team or go back as a witness to my old friends and my relatives' team? So I went back to the old team. And then when we faced the church team one time, it was like unbelievable. Mm. They were like not happy with me, you know, because I think I scored the winning basket in the game. And it was like, oh my God, you know? So I thought, I found liberty being back with the people that I could witness to. And some of them began to really believe because, I did change my tactics a little on the court, not a whole lot.
Sharpen those elbows
a little
up,
bit, yeah. Yeah, basketball was different in those days, Pastor Barry, you know? Oh, I mean, nowadays, if you touch a person's finger, they scream foul, I'm injured forever.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, just a touch, you know? And it's like, you got to be kidding me.
Wow.
So liberty, what, you know, so we can have this idea of liberty.
Yeah.
Is it really Christian liberty? Is it biblical liberty?
Yeah.
Is it the liberty of truth and the liberty of grace and the liberty of the spirit? And I find, like, and I leave for Africa soon, I find there's so much religious bondage there. It's incredible, you know, bondage to signs and wonders.
Yeah, it's interesting bondage. You said that because we had another comment from Linda saying, thinking about the bondage of overemphasis on gifts and healing and things like that. And I would imagine in Africa you've seen a lot of that and how that could be false freedom.
It can be a false freedom, and I do believe God heals. There's no doubt about it. It's happened to me a number of times. But I'm not going to be preaching that in a way that if you don't, then you're in bondage. See, people would put you in bondage from the pulpit by saying, if you're not healed, you have no faith. Really? I thought it was God's faith that did the healing. I didn't know that it was mine. You know, if it's my faith, we're in trouble. But I live by the faith of the Son of God. So God does the healing. God does the healing, and this is incredible, you know, and really having liberty and having liberty in the midst of what we call religious bondage.
Yes.
Because it seems to be everywhere,
you
know, and by the way, do you know that most of this world out of 7.3 billion people on the planet, I think 5.5 to 6 billion are some aspect religious. It's amazing. And it's bondage. It can be bondage. It's really incredible when you think about it. I'm not going to go through the names of the groups of religious people out there. You know who they are. You know what's going on. You know about those in India, those in China, those in Africa, religious people. And they put people into incredible bondage where God is supposed to set you free. You're supposed to be receiving freedom from God, freedom from His Word, freedom from the Spirit, freedom from grace, and you're free, you know? And I think that's no other way to live.
Yeah.
You know, there's no other way to live.
Maybe another question. Thank you for those responses. Another question for the audience and for you, Pastor Shabelli. Freedom from sin is often misunderstood as freedom to do whatever you want. Right? How do we hold to a biblical definition of freedom? You've alluded to it a bit here. But
yeah, it's freedom that is rooted in the Scriptures. You got to have a foundation. So how do you define freedom? You define it in the Word of God, by the Holy Spirit, dipped into grace. You got to define it correctly. So it's not a freedom to go out and do whatever I want, you know. Somebody says, I have freedom to drink, you know. Oh, really? You have freedom to drink? Oh, watch how this takes place. Yeah, you know, you get in an accident, right? And how's your car doing? Your freedom produced a wicked amount of damage. It's going to cost you a lot of money, you know? So yes, you have a free volition. If you want to go do that, you know, God's not going to stop you. You know, He can certainly hinder and try to prevent you through initiation and being patient. But freedom is not because I have this or I have that, or I do this or I do that. But freedom is based on God's character and nature. And if it's based on man's character and nature, There's nothing but bondage. Mm. Nothing but bondage. And I think that's the key. You know, I mean, you know what they do sometimes, like if you, I don't watch it much, but sometimes you watch commercials. Do you ever notice that they never have certain people doing commercials? They always have to be these people that are perfect, you know, perfect in body, perfect in face. There's perfection, you know? Mm. And, you know, you're sitting there looking at that and you're thinking to yourself, well, what about the average person, you know, just the average person that's out there, you know?
Yeah.
And by the way, I always have this question. Somebody said to me, well, that person's not very pretty, pretty ugly. Mm. I said, so who is the one that gives a definition to what is pretty and what is not pretty?
Yeah, what's the standard?
Where does that come from? Mm-hmm. I said, God said you are fearfully and wonderfully made, whoever you are. So there's no such thing as somebody's, you know, beautiful and somebody's ugly. I don't know what you're talking about. Where did that standard come from? Somebody's successful, somebody's not successful. Would you think a man hanging between two thieves on a cross, was that success? Mm. Didn't look like it, did it?
Didn't appear that
Nobody
way.
Nobody happens to be there either. Everybody's with Caiaphas, the high priest, at his big party, his religious party. Nobody's at the greatest event in the history of humanity. Wow. Of eternity at the cross. Mm. And that's why there was no freedom. Mm. There was no freedom. Can you imagine some of these people that were set free, like I said, the Mark 5 guy, the woman with the issue of blood.
Yes.
And they condemned their whole life. You know, look at God. Look at what God's, you know, you're like of the devil, you know? I mean, think about Jairus' daughter. Your daughter's dead. Think about the three miracles of Mark 5. They're amazing. Setting a man free from demons, raising Jairus' daughter from the dead, and a woman healed of disease. 12 years she had this disease. What freedom they would experience. How about when you find freedom, Pastor Barry, or listening audience, you get free and then people look at you and they don't like the fact that you're free. Because they want you to be in the same bondage they're in because
exactly.
They feel comfortable to be around you.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I wonder about legalism. If we're better off being in the grip of sin, or if we're worse off being legalistic. They both are in incredible bondage. You know,
both.
And the comment was made here by our astute producer. Could we say that freedom and righteousness are almost synonymous? You know,
sure.
There are, and the freedom that we've really experienced is found in God's ability to do what's right, not in our own legalistic.
Right, His righteousness, not my own righteousness.
We actually have a comment here, a caller talking about legalism in the church. And let's go to George in Middle River. George, you're on the air with the Grace Hour.
Hey, Pastor Barry, Pastor Shabbat.
Are you free or not?
Hey, there's great.
Are you free?
I am free. I love you. You know, what a great subject, you know. And, you know, legalism, you know, when you were talking about just now about sin and legalism, well, legalism is worse because you're living in self-righteousness and you don't even recognize your own sin.
Yes.
It's like, and that's what the problem in Christianity today is, where you said in the beginning, know the truth and the truth will make you free. Well, the truth is not works. The truth is not what a good person I am. Or the truth, that's not the truth. The truth is receiving the word of God in humility. Mm. Just let's receive God's love. Let's receive the gifts that He wants to give us through the Holy Spirit, through a relationship with Christ, a relationship. And the thing of it is like, you know, today, you know, the pulpits are not preaching against sin. They're just not doing it, you know, and we're in the Laodicean age, and, you know, it's just legalism is it's such an easy trap for churches to get themselves into, actually. Mm-hmm. It's a trap.
Well, there's two aspects of that, you know. As I'm thinking, George, not to cut you off, but...
A
licentious lifestyle, liberal lifestyle, okay? That's one end of it. Then the legalism is the other end of it. Both of them destroy people.
Yes.
Both of them put you in bondage.
Yes.
I have freedom to do whatever I like. Oh, really? How do you define that? Well, I have freedom to... Somebody told me one time... I have freedom to smoke. I have freedom. God gave us everything that's green, and I have freedom to smoke marijuana. I said, why don't you go roll in poison ivy for a while? Let me know how you're doing. You know, so come on, you know, like, let's define this thing correctly. So you've got a license, a liberal license to sin, licentiousness, or you've got legalism. Mm. Both ends, you're in bondage. Both ends, you're controlled, and you don't know it. See, Satan is very good at controlling people through legalism without them knowing it. They don't know it, you know? Really, they don't know what's going on behind the world system. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, he's the God of this world. He's the prince of the power of the air, Ephesians 2:2. So he brings forth the liberal, licentious lifestyle, and he brings forth legalism. He's got both ends of the spectrum.
Yes.
So if you fail, like, you're legalistic, and then all of a sudden you want to be free so you can go sin. So you go from the legalism to the licentious living, or you go from the licentious living, now I'm going to live right, you know, and it's all legalism. It's got nothing to do with the Spirit of God and the truth of God. And that's the sad thing. The bondage, there's so many aspects of bondage that are out there, you know, but they all really come from these two sources, or come from the devil himself, the enemy, using the world and the old sin nature to get us to either live with a liberal, licentious attitude. We can do what we want, where we want, when we want, and how we want. Or then legalism. You can't do anything. Don't touch that. Don't touch, don't taste, you know. Okay, don't do that at all, you know. Mm. What do you mean? Huh? What do you mean? Huh? You're wearing no socks? That's, you can't go to church without socks on, you know. I mean, really. So this, either way, but it's the enemy who is the source of both.
Yeah.
And he doesn't mind if you transfer from one to the other. Oh, you go from licentious lifestyle to legalism, or you go from legalism to a licentious lifestyle. Oh, yeah, he's fine with that. You know, oh, yeah. And it can make you think, when you went from a licentious lifestyle, a liberal lifestyle, to being good without God, that you've accomplished something. Then you're all built up in what you can do, and they can't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got out of drugs. What happened to you, you know? And really, it's interesting what they do to people, you know?
And it's interesting to me that there's definitely an attack, and George, we're thankful for that comment. There's definitely an attack on our, the Galatians, you alluded to it earlier, foolish Galatians, you know? What was it that saved you in the first place? What was
grace.
It that caused you to be, you know, redeemed? Was it legalism? And yet you so easily are bewitched by that legalism.
What a word that is too. Oh, foolish. The word is anoitos. You're non-thinking, non-reflecting. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? This word is baskaiano, and it means somebody has cast a satanic spell over you.
Wow.
Ah, yeah.
Wow.
It was legalistic preaching that did it. Cast a satanic spell over you. Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? You were delivered. You were delivered from all the lies and the demons and all that. You got bewitched. How'd this happen? What went on here? I've been away just a short time. And by the way, Paul made, they say, 5 visits to Galatia. He made 5 visits. If you look at it through the book of Acts and then using his epistles, he made 5 visits there. And it's amazing what can happen. That's my greatest, like, thought and reverence towards God and fear in one aspect, is that churches that have been planted would go from grace to just something else.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, maybe they got the truth, but the truth outside of grace is not the truth.
Mm.
The truth outside of grace, okay, is legalism. And grace without the truth is licentious lifestyle. But grace and truth bring liberty and life.
Wow.
Hey, I think I should use that. That's a good message.
It is. Okay?
Somehow, yeah. In other words, truth without grace, legalism. Grace without truth, a license to sin. Grace and truth, life and liberty.
And how long is it that we're able to even keep up an act? You know, we translate into something that's unsustainable. We have a great comment here. Pastor Monty is saying, getting right by the power of legalism isn't the right kind of getting right. That's yay and amen. And to that point, you know, we can't, how can we sustain having our bush trimmed, right? Having the hedges trimmed in a way that is not sustainable. They're going to grow back. But having the axe taken to the roots, having it completely rooted out, and then becoming who we are. I remember Pastor Stevens preaching along those same lines about the Word of God and the Holy Spirit and the balance that happens. And the Holy Spirit without the Word, you blow up. And the Word of God without the Holy Spirit, you dry up. But the Holy Spirit with the Word, and you grow up.
You grow up, yeah.
And our activity as a believer, if we are not being sustained by the power of the Holy Spirit, if we're not being sustained by the Word of God, if we're not being sustained by the grace of God, then we do not have the staying power that we need to be refreshed daily.
He said those who worship must worship in spirit and truth. Mm. It's not maybe, not could be, not you should. Those who worship must worship in spirit and truth. The word must is it's a necessity in the nature of the case.
Wow.
It can't happen otherwise. It's not worship. Worship means to kiss toward God. And it must be the spirit and truth. So these three great principles, God's for liberty, God's grace, God's spirit, and God's word.
Absolutely.
Really. And without them, if I'm living a Christianity without grace, without the spirit, and without truth, then I can be born again. But I'm not living in grace, in the spirit, and in truth, then I'm in bondage.
Absolutely.
And everybody that's around me as I perpetrate that type of Christianity, I put them in bondage, you know? I put them in bondage, you know? Guy stopped me one time, and he was at the fence of a basketball court in Ghana, West Africa. And he was watching. And then he called another guy over, two of them there. And they said, "Could we see you for a minute, Pastor Shabelli?" I said, "Sure." They said, "What are you doing playing basketball? Pastors don't play sports." I'm like, "You got to be kidding me." I said, "Hey, do me a favor. Come on the court so I could play against you."
Yeah.
I mean, I was like dumbfounded, you know, really. Dumbfounded, you know, by that. Pastors don't play sports. That's unbelievable legalism. You know, you can't play sports. All Paul talked about was sporting things. 1 Corinthians 9:24-27, you know, running the race, Galatians 5:7, fight the good fight, 2 Timothy 4:7. I mean, you know he had reference to that, and he wouldn't have mentioned it if it was sin, you know, and whatnot. But it's interesting. And so legalism, you got to dress a certain way. Can't come to church dressed like that, you know. And we believe in modest apparel and all that, but I'm talking about like the way they would look. I mean, it's incredible, and it's just this legalistic thought patterns that come in. And so the devil himself, Satan, has a lot of ambassadors out there.
Yes,
yes, they are ambassadors of legalism and law. What day do you go to church? Oh, I go to church on Sunday. That's wrong. It can only be Saturday. Oh, really? Oh, that's really interesting to me. You know? That's really interesting to me. Another man said to me, "I was standing there holding a jug of water." And he said to me, "Unless you're baptized, you're not born again." I said, "You mean like this?" And I poured the water on his head. Now, I know those are not practically nice illustrations.
You call yourself a pastor.
Yeah,
pastor
call yourself
Shabelli.
A pastor.
No, it.
I was baptizing him. I was giving him another baptism, you know? If you're not baptized in water, immersed, you got to go down and come up, you know?
Mm.
And some people, they hold you down too long, too. You know, they can hold you down for like what seems to be an eternity, you know? You cannot be saved unless you speak in tongues. Legalism. You can't be saved unless you go to, you know, you attend every church service that the church is offering. You can't be saved, you know?
Mm.
I mean, wow. It's amazing what's out there.
I mean, being a Christian, the definition of being a Christian, what does it mean to be a Christian? A follower of Jesus Christ, a disciple of Jesus Christ. So let me see. That means death, burial, and resurrection, right? It doesn't mean bondage to a set of acts. Actually, the law was given so that we could see that we were incapable, that we needed a savior. So I love that thought. Grace without truth equals licentious living. Truth without grace equals legalism. Grace and truth equals life and liberty.
Life and liberty.
What a great message and what a great thought.
Because it's like they are actually one. Grace and truth are one. You really can't separate them. You can't, because they're one. And you know, we beheld his glory full of grace and truth.
Yes.
The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God, but the only begotten Son, who was in the intimate presence, the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. He's brought him out where he can be seen. You see Christ when you are experiencing grace and truth. Otherwise, I don't know what you're seeing. Mm. I don't know. You see religion? What do you see? Religion? Mm. What's going on? Mm. I mean, I went to church and I would see these people performing their religious duties. And I, you know, when they took the offering, I was trying to figure out when I wasn't saved a way to, where's that money going? How can I get it? You know, I mean, what's the back door of the church like? You know, can I jimmy that with a, I was pretty good at jimmying locks, you know, and breaking into things. You know,
thank God for the statute of limitations.
Yeah, I was a break-in artist. Yeah. But I thought to myself, this, because it did nothing for me. It did nothing for me. And then one day, I'm going to balance this out. One day I met a Catholic priest. His name was Father Barnabas. He was a Franciscan. He said to me, Stephen, you, for all this to work, it's not coming to church only. You need to be born again. I'm like, huh? What are you talking about? He goes, listen to me. He said, not many people are going to tell you this. You, and he said it to my brother too.
Wow.
And we both got saved the same week. You know, you need to be born again. So there was a man of God in a religious atmosphere that had the Spirit.
Wow.
And that was great liberty for me. It was like, how am I going to get away from this, you know? How am I going to get out of this sin, out of this flesh, out of these habits, you know? And it was an insurmountable thing.
Yeah.
And it was in total bondage. You would go from one type of addiction to another. You go from the addiction of making money to the addiction of drugs and alcohol, from that to the addiction of sex, from that to the addiction of whatever, you know? Whatever you're thinking, making money, whatever, or jobs or whatnot, addiction after addiction and no freedom.
Yeah.
No freedom. So some people think they're free because they've ended one addiction, but they don't realize they could be caught up in another.
Amazing. And we think sometimes we have liberty. Oh, I have liberty. I have liberty just to withdraw or liberty to be away. But is that really liberty? Isn't that a drawing away?
It's void of truth.
It's void of truth.
See, there's no truth in that. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but do it much more as you see the day approaching. No, liberty is in coming to God, coming to his word, coming to his church, coming to the body of Christ, coming to the Spirit, coming to God.
Yes.
There's where liberty is.
Yes.
Oh, you go to church, it just puts you in bondage, you know? Like, see, that's because you went to churches that did that. But maybe you could come and be totally free.
Mm.
You could be free indeed. I ran two homes for heroin addicts, okay? And what liberty in Christ.
Mm.
They would come out and they would put them, you go into all kinds of programs, which can work for a while maybe, and they maybe could get them off of drugs, but really it's only the Holy Spirit that could set them free.
Mm.
And when they got set free, they became incredible people, incredible men and women of God.
Yeah.
Because they had a newfound liberty, not a liberty to sin or a liberty to use narcotics, but a liberty to follow God.
Amazing. Well, folks, we still have some time here if you want to give us a call and catch us at the end of the show here, 1-800-338-7060, 410-483-3700 is the local number. We've been having a good time fellowshipping about what real liberty is.
I had liberty on the show today.
You have liberty
great
on the show
liberty today.
Today.
Even Sebastian has liberty today, yeah. He's smiling over there, you know? By the way, did you ever look at, and please don't start smiling just because I say this. You look at some people's countenances and you wonder what kind of bondage they're in. They look like they're going to die. They look like a stone face, you know? Like you look like a, you know, I call one guy and said to me, come here, why is your face always like concrete? I've never seen you like, hello? Are you saved? Yes, I'm saved. Of course I'm saved. Yes, I'm saved. Why do you ask that question? You know, it was like, wow, no real liberty, no joy. Because won't liberty have the fruit of the Spirit?
Mm.
If I have liberty, the fruit of the Spirit, if the Spirit has set me free, there's going to be spiritual fruit. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, meekness, temperance, you know, all these things. They're going to be there. I got great liberty.
Yeah.
Liberty to walk with God, you know?
Yeah. Can you imagine that when you would go home and visit your mom and she would have that good home-cooked meal Woo-hoo! For you? I mean, imagine that you could say, well, I got to go visit my mom. But you said, I'm going there and I'm going to really experience something that's joyful.
Yes.
And that's, you know, when we have a local church and we could come there thinking that I have to satisfy some magical potion.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Really, we're gonna get the word, we're gonna get the Holy Spirit, and we're gonna get grace. And those are the
freedom.
Three areas where we experience true freedom.
Absolute freedom.
And if you leave there in bondage, then somehow you missed hearing from the Holy Spirit. You missed experiencing the grace that comes through the Word of God.
You missed it.
And this is why the Grace Hour is such a powerful tool, really, is that we are, our hope is that we are carrying grace to many people today who can use it to grow in grace and knowledge of Christ, can experience the Holy Spirit's activity in their life, and can have freedom and joy that comes with it. And we know that, Pastor Shabelli, one of the greatest things is we come every day to the campus here, but it's not hard work to do. It's we come joy. And we experience the joy that's in Christ.
Yeah. Even pastoring a Christian school, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I did that for a while. Mine was a little different than yours. I remember like having to disarm people and stuff like that at times. But I had a great time doing it. And by the way, some people look at their job as bondage. How about turning your job into a ministry?
Mm.
And then all of a sudden, at your job or your place of work, you go in there. You're not in there just to make money. Oh, I got to go to work. It's Monday again. You know, you hear people with their comments. No, see that as a ministry, and it will set you free. Mm. Then you'll enjoy what you do. You'll enjoy your employment, you know?
Yes.
I mean, other than that, it becomes like miserable. Yeah. I can't wait, you know, for Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday. I can't wait for my vacation. And they think you get liberty of that. No, you'll find out that it could be more bondage for all you know.
Absolutely.
You know, go to the beach and you bake in, you know, the hot sun. You get sun blisters all over you, you know. You got to use all that cream to take care of it. You went out there to bake yourself, you know. I mean, that's one of the things the Africans can never figure out. Why do people go and lie on the beach? What's that all about, you know? They never understood that. Nothing wrong if you do that. Please, have liberty. But they used to say, what are they trying to do? I said, they're trying to get a tan. So they want to be like us? I get it now, you know. So we've had a time of liberty today.
Mm.
And tonight, too.
Tonight, too. That class will be amazing.
You're all welcome to come to class.
Be amazing. You know, a question is, someone could come and hear a message, as you talked about earlier. It could be full of grace and truth, and they could walk away from there condemned.
Because they're controlled.
Are they? What makes us react to a message the wrong way like that?
Well, they haven't come with meekness. James 1:21 says, receive with meekness the implanted and grafted word, which can deliver your soul. So if you don't get delivered, it's because you're not meek. I'm not going to resist the message. I'm not going to react. I'm not going to rebel.
Mm.
Meekness, praoutes, means that I'm receiving from God.
Mm.
I'm going to receive from God. So they come and they hear it. It's knowledge to them. It's in their mind, but there's no mixing of faith.
Yes.
They don't mix faith. And so I come with receptivity because I want to experience the person of Christ, the Holy Spirit, the body of Christ, and I want to be changed.
Yes.
I'm not coming to church out of a duty. I'm coming because I want to be changed by God.
Well, that's the...
Is that the music?
That's the music. That's a wrap on this week's show, on Friday's show. And go to your local church and experience the liberty that's in Christ. Thank you all for tuning in and for listening.
And come here if you don't have a church.